We are now going to be heading over to the Namibia Chamber of Commerce and Industry's Chamber Talk session number 3. Please do stay tuned in, and as we are crossing over, it's currently taking place live there.
To nationhood, President Myanmar has been the leader of the revolution, the struggle of our people. From the late 1950s until Namibia gained its independence, he has been a symbol of Namibian resistance against colonial rule. During very difficult times, he gave us hope as a people of this country. He led us into a new country, into a new nation. And he made it possible for us to today say that we are indeed a nation amongst the nations of the world. For us, the business people, he has been a great inspiration. He made it possible for us to participate in the economic development of our country. He made it possible for us from different walks of life in our country, through his stated policy of national reconciliation, to hold hands, to build the economy of our country. He made it possible for us to work with the rest of the world to make sure that each Namibian child has an opportunity to go to school, to be in a free nation. So he has indeed been a great leader for us. And at this moment, we wish to send our words of condolences, firstly, to Nkuvambo Nyoma, the widow, the children, the entire Nyoma family, and indeed the entire nation of Namibia. As we mourn the passing of our president, let us remain united as a nation. And that is what he would like us to do. Let us remain focused and ensure that we continue to build the economy of our country as Business Namibia. Let us remain united and create jobs for our people. Let us create employment and make sure that nobody goes hungry in our country. Therefore, as Namibians, we are very proud of the work that he has done, and we will continue to emulate his dreams, his wishes, as we build the economy as Business Namibia. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you for your heartfelt words. So before we continue, I would like all panelists to introduce themselves, please. Let's start with Danny.
I'm Ebla Kaundi, and I am the ED at the Namibia Institute of Corporate Governance.
Good afternoon. My name is Tara Ashanika. I'm the former Chief Executive Officer at NCCI.
Isn't Urap the President of the Namibia Chamber of Commerce and Industry?
Good afternoon. I'm Inge Dhamwani. I am a Presidential Advisor on Constitution and Private Sector Interface, but I'm also a former President of NCCI. A long-serving member of the board as a former president.
Thank you so much, everyone. You know, in many circumstances, we always discuss and praise the founding father, but mostly we talk about his liberation contribution. It's not many times that we talk about the work that he did in building our economy. So I'm going to start with Mr. Tara, who was our NCCI CEO from 2017, and that was during Dr. Nyoma's tenure. You know, NCCI was established 3 months after independence on the 16th of July, 1990. So can you please just highlight his role in forming the chamber?
Well, thank you very much for the question. Indeed, I worked at the chamber at a time when President Nyoma was in office until he retired. One of the one of the key reasons why NCCI was established just after independence was because of the belief of the new government, the government that just took over Namibia after independence, led by His Excellency President Nyoma, in the role that the private sector can play in growing the economy and addressing the socio-economic challenges that the new nation was facing. And therefore, it was felt that for the economy to grow, we needed to have a vibrant and growing private sector that is expanding and is able to not only take up business opportunities that existed in the economy then, but also to create jobs for Namibians and contribute to the growth of our gross national product. And therefore, an organization that represents the interest of the business community was thought of and therefore was formed. President Nyoma has been a very big supporter of NCCI. In strengthening the capacity of the chamber. One of the things that he did in the late 90s was to support the chamber in getting a building for an office by directing his then Minister of Finance to avail some resources to support the chamber in building office infrastructure. And that was a personal directive from the President, President Nyoma, because he wanted to see a vibrant, a strong chamber and a strong private sector. And he also wanted to get some policy proposals that were thought through by the private sector, which he could consider in driving certain policies that he wanted to continue to drive in ensuring that the economy continues to grow and be inclusive. So he was a great proponent and supporter of a chamber of commerce. And even after he retired from office, his engagements with the chamber continued. And I remember on numerous occasions when he requested us to send an officer or a business delegation to accompany him because he saw certain opportunities, especially in his international travels. A very big supporter of the chamber. And I'll be actually short of saying he deserved to be an honorary member of the chamber because he was like part of us in whatever we did. So we honor his legacy in that respect.
Thank you so much, Tara. In the same line of question, Mr. Danny, we regard you as an honorary advisor of the chamber. And I remember when we had the courtesy call with the acting CEO, you actually mentioned about how our founding president ensured that the NCCI is established. Can you just also share a bit about that?
It's amazing how the late Dr. Sam Nyoma used to pay attention to detail. As Tara so rightly pointed out, we wanted strong business representation. He made sure that he always, as Tara pointed out, took private sector representation with him when he traveled abroad or when foreign delegations visited Namibia. And of course, he instructed his cabinet to embark on programs which would help accelerate the economy of the country. And time permitting, we'll go into some of those programs, such as the SME incubation centers, the markets in towns across the country. But he had a deep affinity for the chamber. And as Tara rightly pointed out, even after his tenure office came to an end, he always, if he was available, would be in attendance at an NCCI event that required his presence. And we fondly remember, Inge, activities such as the Sam Nyoma Innovation Awards. Remember, long before innovation was even thought of by other institutions that have come. He said, we need to have innovation. We need to have young Namibians doing things. Tara, you served on that selection panel for years. I can go on and on, talk about and with a specific focus at grassroots entrepreneurship. How we saw the only way forward for the country was to broaden the economic base, to put programs in place that would accelerate participation by Namibians, young Namibians, females, who had never had a chance to get involved in economic activity other than being workers. He accelerated that. And we can talk on and on about some of the programs that he put in place. Of course, the implementers were his cabinet ministers, but he was the one that pushed for those things to happen. Inge, you remember, it was during your tenure, and then Liaki Angala, your successor, had to take that further, where he made sure that the NCCI, which had been an umbrella organization, would be changed to a grassroots representative body. Tara, you, I, the late Dolly, the late Peter van Wyk, we covered the country, talking to imploring chambers in some towns, some of the older towns, who resisted. We said, no, we have to be one united business chamber. You cannot do your little things in isolation. And so, as I say, we have some time to talk, but let me give others a chance as well, because really, I think the chamber owes a debt of gratitude to Sam Nyoma. He was the one that really laid the foundation for this chamber.
Indeed, we do owe a debt of gratitude to our founding president. Thank you so much for sharing that. It's quite eye-opening. So I'd like to go to Ms. Inge. We are going to talk about his policies, you know, because Namibia transitioned from colonial regime to an independent Namibia. So as a business leader in the 90s and also in the 200s, can you also reflect on the founding policy direction and how it aided business in Namibia?
Thank you very much for the question. First and foremost, I would like to acknowledge that the person we are talking about today was an extraordinary personality who impacted everyone he came across. After independence, if you read his statement on the 21st of March, there are so many things that he said, but one that stood out for me was the fact that he said, our country is now in our own hand, our destiny is in our own hands, and we therefore should shape that future. And in the Constitution, Article 98, it speaks about the principle of the economy. And in there, the government adopted the principle of a mixed economy, which allows for private ownership, public ownership, joint ventures, and all kinds of ownership. And if you consider the history of pre-independence Namibia, where the perception or the understanding was that the SWAPO government was going to be a communist government and it will ban the market economy. Contrary to that, Article 98 actually states very clearly that we are a mixed economy, which enables all forms of ownership. And very soon after independence, our founding president signed a number of agreements and treaties enabling this market mixed economy to be embedded. And one of that was the joint venture between De Beers and government, which established the Namdeb Diamond Corporation. So unlike what people were made to be understood, it was very, very clear on the importance of the the private sector in economic development and economic growth. And I think you can see his vision coming through, his thinking coming through in Vision 2030, where he said that we want to establish a globally competitive prosperous country. Now, who makes a country to be competitive? Obviously, amongst many other, is the private sector through its products and services. In addition, he was a big proponent of empowerment through education and training. And therefore, a number of institutions were established to enable Namibians to access opportunities to enhance their skills so that they can become participants in the economy and players in the economy. And as Tara said, he was a very big supporter of the NCCI, and he used the government resources at his disposal because he believed in the role that the private sector was to play in the economy and to facilitate the establishment and the growth of the chamber. And I think we all know a number of other initiatives that he personally championed to make sure that we move towards economic emancipation. He advocated for road infrastructures across the country, for the upgrading and improvement of our port facilities, the railway facility. He had most of us going onto the railway to labor, actually almost every end of the month weekend, to build that railway from all the way to Ondangwa, to Chicago, from Tsumeb. So President Neoma, our founding president, will be remembered for several aspects and contribution that he made to the growth of the economy, the growth of the private sector, the development of SMEs, a big proponent of economic emancipation and hard work. And he was always saying, you cannot expect somebody else to come and feed you. You must work and feed yourself and your family. And he was really leading by example. So we have lost an extraordinary personality who shaped the Namibia that we have today. I think what he would want us to do is to move forward with the agenda that he established in 1990. And I believe and I know that the government is continuing to build on his legacy. And at an individual level, what we can do to remember him is to continue to contribute to that legacy for which he sacrificed his entire life for the benefit of all Namibians. I think I'll leave it here for now.
Yeah, thank you so much, Ms. Inge, for taking us back in time. The railway construction, I have fond memories of that period. So thank you for that. So, Mr. Nepolo, you started entrepreneurship during the founding president's era. And how was that environment, especially the VTC that you are involved with now? Ms. Inge talked about the president advocated about empowerment and training. So I'm sure it also propelled you to go into that sector.
Thank you, Antonio, for the opportunity. Really, we are mourning a person that gave hope to most of us. I remember very well 1999, registered with the Windhoek Vocation Training Center. And towards the end of that year, a brother that paid my first registration passed on. And because the economy, the circulation, was so good that you know you have a father, even though your brother that that paid your registration is no more, you still had a hope, because you know that your president always gave hope in whatever speech that he speak. He do it with real passion, and you can trust in his statement. really gave us a hope to continue, like my business that is called Millennium, was established in 2000 under circumstances that I have to study while also trading. But remember, 2000, a black person owning a business was almost a joke. Had to get to receive some bullying from colleagues in the class when I come late, be to go and hustle, so I continue paying my school. But as much as you know, I had that challenge, there was equity, there was money in a circulation. Whatever you touch, as long as you work hard, you get paid on time. And really, that's one of the things that I could say. That time you did not even get closer to him, not even 10 meter, but you felt him, you felt his leadership. And as time goes, I can also remember that his leadership, he liked implementation. He don't only make statements, he liked to implement, and he liked timelines. In whatever he says, he will put timelines. I remember when my business grew, I think in the year 2008, my company was awarded a tender for electrical network at two schools at Korea Kapdam. Now I'm asking the colleagues, now where's the drawing? No, they were told, they told us no. No, the founding father just told us to construct, and we given only 2 months, and we had to finish a primary school and a secondary school. So he said the drawings and stuff will come later. So definitely, I also had to do ASPE installation drawing. After I do the electrical network, I have to look now for engineers so that at least we can capture those details. But already 10 years, the kids had gone already to school. But just imagine if he could go around and say, policy this, research this. We could have kids that did not go to school for 10 years. But really, I remember him that really is some of us. The reason he gave us hope, we're also going to continue to give hope to the generation to come, especially in the TVET space. That's a commitment that we're going to pledge, that we're going to continue his legacy and also his leadership style. Let me end up here.
Thank you so much, Mr. Parastas. Yeah, indeed, the founding president gave us you know, a lot of hope, especially in infrastructure investment. So I'm coming to my president, Mr. Uirab. Coming from the port side, how did the founding president ensure infrastructure development and investment? And you can also just broaden it towards the whole business sector.
Well, thank you once again, Antonia, for that. As you all know, the founding president was a very practical person. He wanted to make sure that something must be done. It must be visible, and you must feel it. You must touch it. Therefore, his commitment to infrastructure development has been very obvious and very clear. A few examples that one can probably touch on is the port project. During my time at NAMPORT, the founding father was such an inspiration that he believed that the port of Walvis Bay was amongst the best ports on the African continent. Therefore, he gave all his support for us to be able to develop the port. And there have been quite a number of projects that happened at NAMPORT to improve it from the time of independence until today. Infrastructure like the ports, the airports, and many others were initially not meant to serve an independent nation and to serve the SADC region. When the colonial regime built this infrastructure, it was meant to serve as feeder infrastructure, just to basically ensure that everything goes from here only to Cape Town or South Africa and from there to the rest of the world. There was no initial intention for this infrastructure to trade with the rest of the world. And after independence, the founding father made sure that we become global players. That is why there was so much support for us to develop the ports, both Port of Walvis Bay and Port of Lutheret. And he gave us so much hope and inspiration that nothing can stop us but to become the best on the African continent in terms of port development. But he also believed that the economy can only grow if there is proper infrastructure in the country. That is why today our road infrastructure is regarded as the best in Africa, because he ensured that we must be able to trade using our infrastructure by our road infrastructure. We must be able to connect the people of this country to road infrastructure. And you will see the number of kilometers, hundreds and thousands of kilometers that were built after independence, both in terms of the tarmac road, but also in terms of the gravel roads that were upgraded. So he had a very strong commitment in development of infrastructure. He was a great dreamer. When the founding father was saying that we must turn our desert into a food basket, many of us never imagined that that could be done. But today you can see more and more of that coming. The desalination plant has been set up, and it is anticipated that we will have a second desalination plant. That is infrastructure development. Under his watch, we have built many schools. We have built many clinics. And all of this is meant to serve the people of Namibia, to improve the livelihood of the people of Namibia, and also to make sure that when we get international visitors, either as investors, as visitors, that they have sufficient infrastructure to also with ease come and do their business or come and visit their families and friends in our country. Therefore, we all know the rail project that we spoke about. He was physically involved himself, and the great visionary he is, he has been able to mobilize the entire nation to go and work hard labor. Even office executives, the ministers, everybody had to go and give their piece to make sure that that road has been built, not only by a contractor company, but by the people of Namibia. And that is a commitment that he had, and that is the wisdom that we must continue as business people to make sure that we should not lie down, but we must stand up and work, build infrastructure so that Namibia can become a serious trader with the rest of the world. So I think for now, I'll probably stop.
Yeah, thank you so much, Mr. President. Indeed, our founding president was able to mobilize us to do more. So, Ms. Kaumbi, looking at what Mr. Uirap just shared, the infrastructure investment in Namibia, you know, for that, we need strong leadership and strong governance. Mm-hmm. So you, as an expert in corporate governance, how important is the founding president's governance structure in propelling investment and especially entrepreneurship to where we are today?
Yeah, I think... I don't know if you can hear me, but I think just hearing what Mr. Shanika, Mr. Uirap, and even Mr. Mayor here said is already evidence of good governance, because good governance is ethical and effective leadership that results in good performance, in ethical culture, legitimacy, and, you know, good controls. And you won't have those outcomes if you don't have good governance. So the fact that we could have schools, the fact that we could have roads, that, you know, money that was allocated to that didn't go elsewhere, or, you know, somebody else didn't put it in their pocket, shows that there is good governance. And infrastructure like that, you know, allows for access for people to have access to information, people to have access to technology to make business easier. So I think just what they said already speaks to good governance, already speaks to, I don't know if I answered that question.
Yes, thank you so much for that. Now, going back to our former CEO, Mr. Tara, you were indeed leading the biggest advocacy organization. I believe NCCI was the biggest advocacy organization that time, at the end of the founding president's term. Now, listening to what everybody has said, you know, the solid foundation as business leader and economic facilitators to grow and to foster entrepreneurship across the country for wealth creation. So how can the chamber build on that legacy?
Yeah, but maybe before I talk about that, I just wanted to go back to founding president, mm-hmm. That he spoke about his belief in infrastructure, his belief in strong Economic Foundation, we have seen how he impacted or how he drove the fiscal policy at that time and how that shaped the economy that we end up having. But one of his biggest really characteristic as a person, he had so much charisma as a person that he was able to mobilize a lot of people behind a particular goal. And today, Mr. Uyirab spoke about the, I think it is Damwani as well, about the railway project, how he mobilized all of us to go and work on the railway line. But he also mobilized us, I was a student at that time, to clean Windhoek. And Windhoek became the cleanest city in Africa because of those efforts. He used to clean himself. So every Saturday when he's in town, we are following him with like plastic bags to clean up Windhoek, Katutura everywhere. And that's how we became the cleanest city on the continent. Now, I think NCCI has an opportunity now to like many other players in the economy, to build a stronger economy now that we have a foundation that the president, President Nyoma, and the leaders that followed him have built for us. We have an opportunity to now build a stronger economy. I think Namibia is now standing at a very good position, a good position to really build a strong economy. If all of us can give our inputs personally or individually and collectively, there are numerous opportunities that we need to take advantage of. President Nyoma at one of the NCC event was talking about how we have so many opportunities, but very few people take those opportunities. And he was joking, saying we need to have some electric shock. We need to give you electric shock so that you can wake up and see this opportunity that we see every day. And that was in retirement at that time. So I think there are many opportunities. What we need is a good organization. As business people and business leaders, we need to be united. Unity of purpose will take us through even difficulties. But if we are not united and driving in the same direction, we may not be able to achieve what our leaders, like the founding president and other leaders that we had hoped for. I think the key thing here is that NCCI needs to drive unity within the private sector, needs to ensure that the business community is singing from the same hymn book. I think Danny used to say that a lot when we were mobilizing the business community those years, to rally behind one chamber, one single private sector organization. We are too a small nation to have scattered, you know, organizations and bodies. But if you can really just be together and form a united front and tackle the many business opportunities that we see, then we won't need an electric shock. We can actually wake up ourselves without having to be electrically shocked. Thank you.
Thank you for that. Ms. Zamwani, you spoke about our destiny is in our hands. Now, we have all seen the investment that our founding president has initiated and all of that. So we need to commit more to that. Now, looking in the next 5 to 10 years, how can us as the chamber, how can we build on that legacy?
Thank you very much. NCCI is a member interest organization, and you advance the interests of your members. And as Tara said, one of the key ingredients for us to achieve our economic growth is unity of purpose. And President Nyoma was fond of always saying, when people are united, pursuing a common purpose for the benefit of all people, they will be always successful. Something I'm paraphrasing, not exactly, but that was one of his favorite phrases that he used. So NCCI must build on that.
How do you unite the business sector to make sure the common purpose is what is economic growth, is job creation so that there are opportunities for everybody, and of course to make money to contribute towards the economy through taxes and through paying dividends to your shareholders. And therefore, NCCI should play a leading role. We see today that the business sector is fragmented along different interest groups, and NCCI is supposed to fill that vacuum that is lacking, to play that federation role. Because I think what people are looking for is a body that pull all the different business associations together under one umbrella. And that was the intention of NCCI, to be the umbrella private sector or business sector organization. And I think over the years, we have seen vacuums, and as a result of those vacuums, people are coming up and putting in, up association to pursue this and that. So that's the one aspect. The second aspect for NCCI to do is, you are an advocacy group, advocating for the interests of the business sector in terms of policy and legislation when they are being formed. We know, for example, that for the last 10 years almost, we have had a vacuum in terms of the investment law. So the Namibia Investment Facilitation and Promotion Bill has been drafted, has been going through consultation, but as we speak, that piece of legislation is still not on the statute book. Why? Because of the various interest groups. When the minister is having consultation, this one comes with different views why this law cannot be passed in the current form. So can NCCI take up the leading role and advocate that this current government expedite the finalization of that very important role that is actually offering more investment opportunities that can make the climate more conducive for the private sector? And thirdly, as a member interest group, you must make sure that people see the value of NCCI. And you can only do that through quality of service that you are rendering. So if I have to join NCCI as a business person, I'll ask, so what can NCCI do for me? And I know that NCCI has done a lot of things and can do still a lot of things. But there are many people who are still not convinced with the services that are being rendered by NCCI. So it must be more vocal in promoting the quality of services that we render. And that obviously go with the quality of leadership in our structure. So it's very important that we fix internally our own governance principles and practices, that we go out and offer relevant services to our members that are timely and that are cost effective. If you can do those three things, I think NCCI will be moving in the direction of fulfilling the vision of His Excellency, our founding president, in terms of unifying the business sector, in terms of developing our country, in terms of making Namibia competitive. Must also speak to our members in terms of services rendered by our members, because sometimes some of them leave much to be desired. And so we cannot be competitive if our services are not competitive, a quality of service and quality of pricing. So all these are things that I'm sure the NCCI can take a very leading role in achieving those. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ms. Inge. Denny, you mentioned a lot about how our founding president was very keen in developing business and especially entrepreneurship in Namibia. Now, building on what Ms. Inge talked about, you know, that our destiny is in our hands, how can we as NCCI propel entrepreneurship in this country as we move on?
I'd like to just start by saying today we are paying tribute to a great man, Namibians generally, but we must know that the world outside there also holds the late Sam Nujoma in high regard. That's why BBC, British Broadcasting, yesterday featured Namibia featured a lot on the news. He was recognized outside the country as well, just to deviate slightly now, before I get to the point. He received many awards. Honors were bestowed upon him in many countries of the world because they recognized the goodness in the man. And I'd like to just point out this badge here that I wear today is actually from an organization called Rotary International, which subscribes, as you know, to ethics in business, good governance, and so on. And Rotary International, the motivation of the club in Windhoek, actually bestowed a Paul Harris Fellowship on the late Sam Nujoma for that. So I think from a governance side, you should know that. To get to the point, as Chamber Past President Mimi Ingi said, the late Sam Nujoma, did not tolerate any division fragmentation. And that's why, as Tara pointed out, the NNCCI, as it was then known, the forerunner to the name was changed later on to the Namibia Chamber of Commerce, was the Namibia National Chamber of Commerce and Industry. Because at the dawn of nationhood, there was a German chamber, an Afrikaans chamber, a chamber for whites, a chamber for black Namibians, and the late Sam Nujoma said, this is not going to work. This is not going to work in the nation that we are going to build. So we should not disappoint or undermine the good work that he, the foundation that he laid. As Mimi Ingi gave us good advice, what the NCCI should do, how we should deliver on the mandate. And I'd like to also acknowledge you, Busy. You have gone through a very difficult presidency. I don't think any of your forerunners had to face the challenges that you've had to face, COVID and other in other areas as well. So there is a huge job ahead. And I know that like Mimi Ingi, Dr. Biaki and others who are there, constantly the Taras, the other former CEOs, to help bring the chamber back on course. You will not find them lacking. I know, BC, you're going to be there to support as well. Getting on to entrepreneurship, as Mimi Ingi, President BC Tara, Director of the NCCI, and Edla have pointed out, Paula and Liu pointed out, is that he saw the importance of entrepreneurship. He saw that things have to happen. The economy can't just grow on its own. They have to be creators of wealth and jobs. And that's why he lent his name, he gave his name to the Sam Nujoma Innovation Awards. He was always promoting business recognition, not only of large businesses, of small businesses. And the creation of public enterprises, parastatals or state-owned enterprises. He knew that there are certain areas which were perhaps not attractive for the private sector, but those services had to be rendered. And so he made sure that those institutions, entities were established that we see today. It was because of that that played out. And also, of course, by creating parastatals, state-owned enterprises or public enterprises, it created even more business opportunities for entrepreneurs, for small businesses. He saw the value in that. And look what happens today. Look, during your time, you see how much work you outsourced to small enterprises when you were the head of Namports. And now, in your role, your current role. Yours, maybe, Ingi, when you were at NAMDEP, I remember you were always making an appearance at the expos that we attended down there in Oranjemund. So right from the start, he ignited that spark. He said, this is entrepreneurship, now let's do it. But the NCCI must listen carefully to what maybe Inge has said, that solid advice that she has given us. Because by not delivering, that's when we actually encourage this fragmentation. And so we should not become part of the problem. We should be the solution. So I hope I've answered the question in a roundabout way, but you know, there's so much that goes through one's mind on occasions like this, and you don't really actually know where to stop and where to end. Thank you.
Yeah, indeed, there's a lot to speak concerning the legacy of our founding father. So we have about 10 minutes left, so I'm going to give an opportunity to Mr. Parastas and then Edla and then our president just to share a few words, final words, like, you know, how can the chamber drive the economy forward, looking at what our founding president, the foundation that the founding president has laid.
Sorry. All right. Thank you very much once more again for the opportunity. As we continue to pay tribute to our founding father, father of the nation, Dr. Shafi Shuna Suma Nujoma. I think if we really, as a chamber, have to appreciate his good doing or what he have done to the nation and to the globe at large, I think we need to emulate on his practicality. He's a practical man. We need to do that. Of course, we are using English as a medium of communication, as a language. I always say too much good English is not enough. We got to get to the ground and do the work. If we can do that, definitely as a chamber, we will going to. And again, you know, when you are in the midst of the seniors, the like of Danny and Meinge and Tara and Peace, you're going to speak little, because a lot of wisdom are already, you know, spoken to those seniors. But what I want to say is that myself as an entrepreneur that never worked for anybody, I only know how to employ, I never get employed. But I did it because under circumstances. But that circumstances turned things really to a lot of inspiration. I think we need to inspire Lily Namibia to create more entrepreneurs. At NCCI, we need to create more entrepreneurs. How do we do that? We need to do good things as a chamber. We also need to lead by example, to do things that a chamber should lead by example, from governance, from creating a sustainable organization in terms of making sure that we innovate so that the chamber is sustainable. Because our mandate is a Section 21, definitely we may not aim to make profit, but we must aim to at least have a sustainable income and lead by example that the chamber is read by the mind that understand how to do business, because it's very difficult a person to come and join an organization that is not doing what the business was supposed to do. We need to emulate by example. We need to at least be a chamber that have programs that worth emulating. I think if we are to really pay tribute and also carry the legacy of the founding father. In general, really, TVET, in conclusion, I know the founding father was very, very serious about technical vocational education. And past the years, Namibia in Africa is one of the leading countries when it's come to artisans. We have good artisans. We don't need to, just immediately after independence, I think by the year 95, already we stopped already to import skill in the country. So by now, we can now export skill through technical vocational education. I'm saying that because I'm a TVET promoter. Of course, that hope from nowhere to be called a TVET promoter is because the founding father, the founding president of the country casted a very strong foundation for us to say now we can really work and we can really build pillars from this strong foundation. So TVET, we cannot overemphasize about it. If we can continue sending our youth to technical vocation education, depending on our other emerging economy sectors like your green hydrogen, your oil and gas and all that, definitely we can export this skill to the rest of the continent so that we also can bring foreign currency through those arrangements.
All right. I know the president vicariously through my late brother, who they had a really good relationship. And one thing that I come to know about him is that he definitely was big on unity, like everyone said before. And I mean, even just from a spiritual perspective, that where there's unity, there's blessings always. And from a chamber perspective, I think it's good to leverage synergies to see, you know, so that we don't have to reinvent the wheel, see where there are strengths. And so the president, the founding father, was also really good at spotting talent. So it's really good to, I mean, the Namibia Institute of Corporate Governance is there. With, you know, we don't have to repeat things that have already been done. So it's good to leverage other institutions that are doing the same thing. And then to, I mean, it is about Ubuntu after all, to see how can we unite so that we can just implement what's already there, because the groundwork has been laid. We have Vision 2030, we have the national development plans. So how can we leverage what we already have to promote and implement what's already there? All from my side. Yeah, may his soul really rest in peace.
Thank you. Yes, Mr. President, the last words for today.
Thank you very much, Antonio. I think this was a very impressive round of discussion. Probably time a little bit shorter because there's so much that needed to be shared, as is Danis indicated. But also, as Danis said earlier on, the past 10 years or so have been very difficult for our country in many respects. The economy was not doing well at all. Drought, economic slowdown, COVID, and all so many things. But fortunately, we are starting to see a glimpse of hope in terms of where the economy is going. We have discovered oil, and fingers crossed, I think the next couple of months, we can see a definite direction as to where we are going with that new economy. But also, we are on the verge of celebrating the installation of our fifth president, first female. And that really creates a great opportunity for us as a nation. We also know that the first female president is coming in with a very strong promise of building the economy on the foundation that was laid by our founding father and the two presidents that followed him, plus the current president. Now, what does it mean for NCCI? NCCI must be that voice of business Namibia. NCCI must strive to unite the business of Namibia. NCCI must advocate for a very conducive environment for businesses to thrive and for the economy to grow. NCCI must work hard to make sure that a conducive environment is created for our local entrepreneurs to become part of this great economy that is coming. NCCI must make sure that there is unity amongst the business community of our country. We must be able to advocate and work with the government to ensure that the foundation that we are laying now, on the already laid strong foundation by our founding fathers, that we can jump from here as far as high as we can. Therefore, We are very happy with the trajectory that NCCI is taking after a very difficult period of time, as we see an improved future for our economy. We also see the improved NCCI with its advocacy work uniting the business community of our country. Therefore, I am really happy with the initial purpose of this panel discussion, whereby we are going out to reach out to all our membership in all the branches to reactivate those branches that were not active over the past couple of years, but to strengthen those that were already active. And what we can do now is to call upon all business people to join hands with NCCI so that we can build a very strong, vibrant business community, to engage with the government, to engage with our foreign investors who will be coming for this new economy, so that we can learn from them, because some of it is fairly new to us. Let us hold hands, learn from them. Let us engage the government to ensure that the field work and the environment for these new businesses to thrive is laid, so that we can make policies that will help us to get the maximum benefit for the people of Namibia, jobs, and to ensure that all the children are able to go to school. Therefore, we really want to thank the membership of NCCI, the secretariat, and of course, I want to thank the panel also who has come here. I think this is the last of the three sessions that were planned. We had the first two sessions, which I understand went extremely well, and I'm very happy that we are closing off with these great people who participated in this one. And I really want to say well done to the secretariat. Let us continue to engage with our business personalities all over the country and continue to strengthen the brand NCCI. I thank you.
Thank you so much, Mr. President. Indeed, we take your words to heart. So yeah, this is the end of our of episode 3. Thank you so much for everybody who joined us last week, Thursday, Friday, and also again today. And thank you so much for all the panelists. Thank you so much for honoring our invitation and for taking time to come here and discuss this very important remembrance and honoring in honor of our founding president. So as you heard here, our founding president, he laid an economic foundation. He created entrepreneurial opportunities. So now it's up to us to continue to ignite the spark and hold that torch very high, because together we can do so much more. So I'll end off by saying, rest in power, Dr. Sam Safushuna Nyoma. I thank you.
Thank you.